bringing pro football to the Mid-South for nearly two decades.
It's a miracle!
Yes! Good! Touchdown, Titans!
This is Titans Radio. It's time to talk about the Titans right now. This is Titans Tonight, presented by Pinnacle Financial Partners, with All-Pro linebacker Keith Bullock and the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith. Live from the Music City Performance Studio, brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance of Tennessee. Now, the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock, presented by Pinnacle Financial Partners. Pinnacle proud to be the official bank of the Tennessee Titans. Visit TitansBanking.com to check out Pinnacle's list of game-winning plays to discover what Titans banking can be to you, the ultimate checking for Titans fans. Excited about the program every week, especially excited about the program tonight. Special guest Marcus Mariota to be with us here in studio coming up, and we are excited to visit with this young man coming off another outstanding performance, Keith Bullock, in the win over Cleveland.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited. One, I never got a chance to meet him. I have yet to meet Mr. Mariota. And two, the way, like we spoke about last week, how the offense came out and took command of the game and they never turned back. It almost seemed like identical this week. The offense is getting into their groove, and it seems as if, Marcus, the last two games, has, I wouldn't say stepped up his game. It's just done more within the offense that the defense has been giving them, whereas in the first four games we've seen, more dominant performances by DeMarco Murray, which he's still doing his thing. But I feel as if the last couple of games, Marcus Mariota has shown why he was the number one pick here, using his legs and his arms to be effective. And offensive coordinator Teddy Robinski seems as if he's opening the playbook up a little bit more and stretching the field with those deeper routes downfield, as we saw one grab by Kendall Wright and the other by Rishard Matthews.
You're going to get to ask him all those questions, not just meet him, but quiz him, talk football with him. You can also ask a question if you get on Twitter. The third member of our crew, Amy Wells, handles all of that. She will take care of it. Amy, tell everyone, welcome, first of all.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you. I had to stall while we got you.
Hey,
ready
Amy
to go there?
Yeah, that's okay.
All right,
no problem.
Tell everyone how they can send a question via Twitter, if you
want. Okay, if you want to ask a question, of Marcus or Keith, you can tweet us using hashtag Titans Tonight. I will find it. I will write it down. I will ask the question. We also are going to be taking questions from people in the audience, too. So we have a variety of things happening today.
And we have Titans season ticket members here to see Marcus Mariota tonight. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, we always have a nice crowd. Thanks to the crowd always.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the good reasons to be a season ticket member, because you'll have a chance to be part of the show with Marcus Mariota. Also want to mention, thanks to Papa John's for the pizza. All season long, get the Tighten Up special at papajohns.com. Get any two large pizzas with two of your favorite toppings for just $7.50 each. Go to papajohns.com and enter promo code Tighten Up only at Papa John's. So the opponent this week, the Indianapolis Colts at Nissan Stadium. Keith Bullock, you beat them three times at Nissan Stadium in your career. All three were memorable. The 2002 game, a fantastic individual performance by Steve McNair, one of his very best, as that day he outdueled Peyton Manning and you guys won 27-17. It was very exciting on your way to winning the first AFC South championship. You remember it well?
Yeah, I remember. I definitely remember. That was my first year starting, and I believe we swept the Colts that year.
Sure did.
We were a young team. We started off 1-4, and we had nothing to lose. And all we did was put our backs to the wall and just came out firing. And that Colts game was later in the season. I believe it was probably for the division or had something to do with the division championship, and I believe that's the year Steve won his MVP as well.
It was actually the next year, but I think it was that December that set him up to win it the next year, because that Giants game happened there at the Meadowlands. And
I remember that's the year we played the Oakland Raiders in the AFC Championship, and to this day I'll always say that Steve McNair was, I never seen anybody play that well in a game, and defensively we weren't ready. We didn't play up to the standard that Steve was playing up to offensively, because I think if defensively we were just a little bit more seasoned, we would have beat Oakland and went to the Super Bowl.
The other win over them, or the next win, 2006, when you're on the big run with Vince Young, you go from 2-7 to 8-7. This was in the middle of the run. You fall behind the Colts 14-0. You come back and you take a lead in the ball game, or actually you're tied in the ball game. And it was late in the game, and Coach Fisher decides to go for a 60-yard field goal with Rob Baronis. I want you to, before we play the clip, I want you to give us the thought when you saw Baronis going out on the field to try the 60-yard field goal. Did you think there was any chance?
I always thought there was a chance with Rob, because if anyone had been to the Titans game when Rob Baronis was there, this kicker was the most stretched out kicker ever. You would see him just stretching behind the bench. He would stretch the entire game. So I just knew that if he hit it right and gave it enough leg, it would go through. But 60 yarder, it was very impressive. And that was over 10 years ago when you don't really think about a coach sending their kicker out to hit a 60 yarder. It just shows how much confidence Jeff had in Rob Baronis as his kicker.
Rob Baronis from 60 for the win.
Snap, set. Kick on the way. Good! Rob Baronis has just made a 60-yard field goal. I cannot believe it.
I'm sure Rob couldn't believe it either.
Sure. I have to be completely frank, though. I nearly said something else right there. Starting with holy.
It was Sunday.
It was Sunday. Sunday. Yeah, it was Sunday. But the ball was going through. And you're watching it, and you're thinking, this might make it. And when it goes over the goalpost, I remember seeing T-Rack. and the ball goes over, and T-Rack, Pete Nelson, jumps up and down, and I'm thinking, he just made that kick. And, I mean, I was as shocked as it sounded like I was.
Those games are battles, man. Those games are fights. And I think that this Titan team right now, that's the type of game that they need. And I think that they are ready for one of those tests, you know, where it's back and forth, but they pull this one out. Whereas we've seen them go back and forth, and we've been on the losing end. I think this weekend is the perfect setup for, you know, the Titans to, you know, emerge as a new face of the AFC South.
Speaking of fights, first ever Code Blue, 2008. You guys, Monday Night Football with, in essence, a chance to totally take control of the division, go to 7-0 at that point, and the Colts, you would knock them four games behind you if you won the football game. And early on, they led. They led 14-6. You came back to tie it. And the key play, it's one of the great defensive plays in modern franchise history, certainly in Titans history. The Colts decide to go on 4th-and-1 early in the fourth quarter.
Reed is in at fullback, the defensive tackle, 4th down and short. Manning gives it to Rhodes, hit, dropped, no sir. Tellett came slashing through, and the Titans have mustered up the big stop and take over in Colt territory.
Went on to score, went on to win the game. A great, great night on your way to the AFC South Championship and a 10-0 start. What do you remember about that play?
Well, that play is a lesson in football. We all know the Indianapolis Colts, Peyton Manning, all the weapons that they have. They're a running team. They're a passing team. They're more of a finesse team. Now, if it's 4th-and-1 and you want to line up with a fullback, I don't care if you bring the fridge in there. You're playing right into the hands of the Tennessee Titans. We enjoy playing smash mouth football, line up, you know, mano y mano, you got to get 1 yard and let's see what happens. And, you know, against the Colts, I feel like that was what was supposed to happen. So that was our mentality. Like you said, it was a cold blue game. You know, the fans had all evening to get ready for that game. We had all day to mentally prepare. And it was the first time ever. So, you know, we showed out, and it was a great game for just the city of Nashville.
Lendell White, 10 carries, 13 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Hey, you know what? In fantasy, that's a big stat line right there. 2 touchdowns, 13 yards, that's about 15, 16 points. That's a good fantasy football line right there.
That was quite the twosome at running back, having Chris Johnson as a rookie and Lendale White, who came on in short yardage and at the goal line, had a spectacular year himself. Is the 1-2 punch that the Titans have now superior at running back than the 1-2 punch they had in 2008?
They haven't used it yet. I think what they're doing is great. They're getting Derrick Henry in there. He's getting game time experience and exposure, but he's not necessarily getting the ball. He's doing the little things. He's pass blocking. They bring their pony offense in when you see that's DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry at the same time. You know, sometimes he's blocking for DeMarco. They're going into pass routes. So they're really, you know, like I said, what Coach Robinski is doing, he's slowly but surely unveiling his offense as he sees his offense's players able to handle it. But I definitely will go to say that once they do unleash those two, I can't wait, because defenses are definitely going to get tired later in the season when they get, you know, DeMarco Murray running downhill, who loves contact, and then Derrick Henry, who's the same size back, but it's going to be fresh legs. So the Titans are definitely setting themselves up for good things.
You're listening to Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock on Titans Radio. I'm Mike Keith, along with the former Titans great linebacker, three-time All-Pro Keith Bullock. Marcus Mariota is here. He is going to join us in our next segment. You know, next week we're actually on Wednesday night because there's a game on Thursday, October 27th. Titans take on the Jaguars. Bud Light and the Titans are teaming up for a free pregame concert, the Titan Up Tailgate Party, outside gates 8 and 9, right outside Nissan Stadium. The opening acts will start at 5 with ACM, New Vocal Group of the Year, 1,000 Horses of Smoke fame, taking the stage at 6:30. So you want to be there as part of the festivities for Thursday Night Football in downtown Nashville. Next Thursday night, Titans and the Jaguars, and Bud Light and the Titans teaming up for the free pregame concert at the Titan Up Tailgate Party, 1,000 Horses, the special guest. And we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to visiting with Marcus Mariota when we come back. Your questions, hashtag Titans Tonight. Amy Wells, Mike Keith, and Keith Bullock. This is Titans Tonight. Play fake, Mariota dropping deep, stepping up, throwing deep. Kendall Wright all alone. What a catch! Wright grabs it. Touchdown, Titans! Kendall Wright made the catch, was down at the one, had not been touched, got up, and went into the end zone. Welcome back to Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock. We're glad to have you with us. Crowd of Titans season ticket members here tonight joining us, and we are thrilled to have with us Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
All right. So I got to ask you, everybody knows about your Hawaiian roots, and this guy sitting right here, Keith Bullock, three-time All-Pro, went to a Pro Bowl in 2003. And somebody made the point to me today that I thought was really interesting. The Pro Bowl was very important to you.
Oh, absolutely.
You got autographs, went to games. Who all did you have a chance to meet?
Well, yeah, I mean, every year it was fun because, you know, the Pro Bowl was in Hawaii. They do the NFL experience. Me growing up there, you'd always, whenever school was done, a bunch of us would run down to Kapi'olani Park and just hang out and wait for autographs, you know, do the NFL experience. And I got a couple throughout my years hanging out. I got Hines Ward, Jerry Rice, Michael Vick. I mean, the list kind of goes on and on. Kind of a funny story I've always shared is when I was waiting to get Jerry Rice's autograph, he was playing for the Raiders at the time. And my dad is probably one of the biggest San Francisco 49er fans. He's diehard. And we're waiting in line, and all week I told my dad that I wouldn't show him what I was going to have Jerry sign. And I had it in a bag. And we get to the front of the line where Jerry was, and I pulled out an Oakland Raider, like, small helmet. And my dad just looked at me, and he didn't talk to me for weeks because of that. So, but it's just kind of a funny story. I mean, the Pro Bowl back home in Hawaii is such a big deal, and it's always fun having it there.
Yeah, the time that I went, I thought it was a great experience. And, you know, when you're young in your 20s, you don't realize that how far off the mainland Hawaii is. And, you know, how much, yeah, really, but like how, when you, until you get there, how much football is still a part of, you know, Hawaii and the kids there and how much they take to it. So I guess coming from Hawaii and then finally playing when you have to come against kids that are playing on the mainland in such a different mentality, what was the transition or the experience like for you when you did finally, you know, maybe go to Oregon or your first time competing against kids that were from the mainland?
Well, it was different. You know, everyone kind of talks about the speed of the game. There's always a jump from when you go from high school to college, from college up to here. So that was one of those things I noticed was the speed of the game. But for me, really, it was still football. Just went out there, played the game that I love, you know, played within myself, played with my instincts. But for me, I thought college was such a cool experience because you got to play with people from Florida, from Texas, from, you know, all sorts of places. And to be able to meet and build those relationships, things that kind of last for a lifetime, was really fun and really cool.
It's interesting because right now I work with the Nike Elite. I know you were Nike Elite 11. Yep. And right now Tua Tagovailoa is one of the quarterbacks going to Alabama. And he was on my team in the Open. We won the Open Championship.
He balled.
Yeah, he did. But the way that I saw the kids take to him and gravitate towards him and the way that he leads, and I asked him about you. This is my first time meeting you, but he spoke very, very highly of you. So do you see that in a lot of the players that come from Hawaii in the way that they approach the game?
Absolutely. Growing up, you learn at such a young age, it's about us. It's about representing Hawaii. You know, Tua is a great example of that. Because every opportunity you have to represent where you come from, it's so special to us. I mean, I can remember growing up, you know, watching guys like Manti Te'o and some of these other, the news back home in Hawaii, they would never show what the score was of his games. They just showed his stats. And I mean, that's just kind of how it was. And it means a lot, I mean, for any individual athlete that's coming out of Hawaii to represent it. And, you know, I think Tua's kind of the next guy coming up, and I think he'll do great things.
Hey, Marcus, who was someone who taught you the most football, the most X's and O's? That's a question from Troy in our audience.
My dad. It's funny because he can be my biggest critic, but he's also one of my biggest fans. And whether it's talking football after games, you know, just sitting down watching Sunday night games or watching college games, we just enjoy talking. And, you know, he's very easy to talk to. I can talk to him about really anything. But for somebody that's never really played the game, he's pretty savvy. He kind of understands a lot of the stuff. And for me, I just kind of enjoy, you know, bouncing off ideas or just kind of venting about what's going on.
You have a lot of guys in the building who are former offensive coordinators. Your current offensive coordinator, Terry Robiskie, has done it before. Obviously, your head coach, Sylvester Kroom. Jason Michael has done it. Bob Bratkowski has done it. You have a lot of guys to share football, to talk football, to be engaged in that whole process. A lot of tutors.
Absolutely. And a lot of great minds. And I think week in and week out, our game plans really put us as players in the best situations. And, you know, as we go out every single Sunday, we know that our coaches are doing everything in their power to make us the best players that we can be and put us in the best situation. So to have every one of those guys is a blessing, and you know, I look forward to continue to work with them.
Marcus, I have a Twitter question from Pete. He wants to know, how do you handle all of the commitments that you have, not only on the field but also off the field? You're a pretty busy guy, we assume.
Well, I'm very fortunate to have a team, you know, that includes my family, that includes you know, some of the people within the organizations of the Titans, as well as people that my parents and I have kind of both hired to help me with some of these things, some of these commitments. And I'm very fortunate because they do a great job of, you know, kind of pushing to the forefront what's a priority, what are things I need to do, as well as, hey, maybe you can push this back and we can do this, you know, sometime later on in the future. So I've got a great team behind me that does kind of all the background work for me, and I'm truly thankful for that.
Well, speaking of teams, you got drafted here, you know, top pick, and they're like, hey, Marcus, welcome to Titans. Here's the football, you're the starting quarterback. You didn't even get a second to breathe before you're the starter. So that comes with a lot of responsibility. I played linebacker, but I feel that quarterback and race car driver might be two of the hardest things to do in sports, something like that. So what was that process like for you as a rookie to where you are now? So that's it.
No, that's a great question. And it's funny because you look back on it and you kind of wonder, man, how did I go through that? But I was very fortunate to kind of walk into a situation where there was a lot of young teammates, a lot of guys like Taylor Lewan, you know, guys like Harry Douglas, veteran guys like Delaney Walker, who really just kind of welcomed me with open arms, you know, believed in me, had a lot of confidence in me. And from that moment on, I just felt comfortable. And they made it really easy in my transition. And, you know, for me, that's all you can really ask for as a rookie coming in.
On the field, year one to right now, to the last 2 weeks, because I feel, you know, in the last 2 weeks, I've seen you as a quarterback open your game up a little bit. Maybe it's because of the play calling or anything, but I've just seen you, you know, show a little bit more maturity as I would expect in a second-year quarterback.
Yeah, and I think those are things that I'm kind of learning as I go through, you know, each and every single game. You know, I think those first few games, you know, I was trying to do too much, you know, trying to force some things here and there, trying to make, you know, try to win the game on one throw or try to win the game by scrambling around and doing too much. And, you know, we have such a good group of guys around, you know, myself that really all I have to do is just be kind of a point guard and distribute here, distribute there, and those guys are going to continue to make plays. So, you know, it's a learning tool for me. It's a learning process. But that's what makes this game so much fun is I get to go, you know, week in and week out and you know, just learn.
Brent from social media wants to know, what is the best advice that you've been given to help you adjust to the NFL and all the craziness that comes with it?
Just be myself. You know, you got to trust what's worked or, you know, really just kind of trust everything that's gone on. I mean, for me, I think guys, especially in the locker room, you know, they're going to look to you, and if you're trying to be somebody that you're not, you're going to lose a lot of respect. So really just continue to be myself, understand that I can, you know, lead that way, lead by doing the right things, and you know, it's kind of worked for me.
Marcus Mariota is our special guest tonight. Amy Wells, Mike Keith, and Keith Bullock. This is Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock on Titans Radio. Mariota play fake, around right in, student body right, touchdown, Titans!
Welcome back to Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock, live from the Music City Performance Studio, presented by Farm Bureau Insurance of Tennessee. If you have a question for Marcus Mariota, Keith Bullock, Mike Keith, or myself, tweet us using hashtag Titans Tonight. I wanted to be included. Sorry, guys. Keith is laughing at me.
They should have questions for you. That's fair.
I got some questions.
Anyway, Marcus, right now we have a question for you. Terry wants to know, is there any one particular stat that you pay attention to more than any of the other ones?
Interesting.
None. I don't. To me, as long as we get W's, that's all that matters. I don't. Stats are whatever.
All right, but let me. Are there not team stats that you might focus on and say, okay, you come in, look at third downs, or not your stats necessarily, but are there some things from an offensive standpoint that you might take more interest in?
You know, that's a great question. I think, you know, for us, week in and week out, third downs is, you know, very important. If you find yourself above 40, 50% in third down, I mean, you had a pretty good day.
You guys have been one of the better teams in the league on first down. Has that been a key to your recent success?
Absolutely. Being able to win first down, you know, get us in second and manageable and third and manageable, really allows us to kind of continue drives, continue to push the chains. Once you get past, you know, third and 10 and you get into those third and 15 ranges, you know, it starts to get really tough to get some of those first downs.
Yeah, I was going to go there. Explain that to the listeners, you know, why it's good to be – have good offense on first down so you're not caught in a third and 10 to 15, whereas you prefer a third and 2 to 3. Explain how it may open up your offense or close it depending on the down and distance on third down.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, if you're able, for us, obviously, the way we run the football, you know, it really helps us kind of be ahead of the chains on second and third down. Allows us to kind of take shots maybe if we want to on second down, just because we're in those ranges where, you know, third and six and third and five are manageable. And if you continue to run the football well, I mean, if you get in situations where it's third and short, that's tough on a defense because you can run the football, you know, you can do a play action, you can throw it. So there's different things that, you know, allows us to be really versatile on offense.
Marcus, Shane on Twitter wants to know how you have benefited as a quarterback from working with a defense and a coach like Dick LeBeau.
Yeah, it's been huge. You know, to practice against that defense every single day, to see the multiple looks, to see the multiple pressures, things that really you're going to see on Sundays at some point in time throughout the season, has really helped us, not only myself, but the entire offense. There's not a look, I think, whether, you know, or through training camp, that we didn't practice that some of these defenses use. So it's really prepared us for this year.
They talk to you, too, in practice. I've seen them do it. And I've seen
talk to me.
I've seen you give them the business back, too.
I guess.
It looks like you guys have and this was, we talked about this in training camp. It's hotly contested. You guys certainly competed. There weren't many fights. There was, it was like it was hard work, but you were all still very much on the same team. And it was more like it was all in fun than it got nasty.
Yeah. And I think there was a lot of respect across the locker room. You know, guys see how hard each and every single player is working. And I think the respect across the locker room has really brought this team closer. And, you know, when you're able to do that and you're able to compete every single day in practice the way that we do, eventually it's just going to make your team that much better.
Well, you guys have definitely gotten better from last year, and I feel, you know, doing this show has brought me closer to Texas. I really pay attention to the game and how you guys, you know, put it on the ground, put it down. And this week, you guys have a shootout at High Noon versus the Indianapolis Colts. So.
Yep.
Speak about competition, and you know what I'm getting at is, to me, I feel like Andrew Luck gets he gets a lot of credit for I don't know what, you know what I mean, and where I'm going with my point is, Marcus is the quarterback, so me, when I played, what got me going was who was coming into our stadium. So Ray Lewis is coming. I'm not going to play against Ray, but he's the baddest man in town, not in my house. Derek Brooks, whoever's the top. So I guess where I'm going, what gets you going individually? Like when you're getting dressed and you strap up and Marcus Mariota, like when they call you and it's time to go, what gets you going?
Being able to strap it up. I mean, you know, having an opportunity every single Sunday to go out there and play a game that I love, to compete with the guys that we have, there's no better feeling than that. And for me, I think if you need a little more juices going into something like this, going into some of these games, I don't know. Maybe you're not human. But, I mean, for me, I love the game so much. I'm passionate about it. And every single Sunday I get to strap it up, I'm ready to go.
Marcus, what's been the toughest place for you to play or the toughest team to go up against so far?
I don't know. That's a great question. I'm a competitor. I don't like to admit those types of things.
He might be too young to have some rivalries, but somebody, look, you're going to play this game long enough and you're going to beat up on enough people and they're going to beat up on you enough that you're going to get some disdain, a friendly disdain for some of your rivals.
Who were yours?
I didn't like Baltimore. I didn't like Pittsburgh. I didn't like anyone in our division.
I agree with that.
But like I'm a defensive player, so I have a different mentality.
No, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So I mean, my whole thing was obviously your O line is playing great, by the way.
Unbelievable.
I'm glad you're taking those guys out for dinner tonight. They deserve it. But yeah, man, like you have to protect your quarterback, and I want my players to be the most outstanding players on the field offensively. Like when we had CJ, no other running back is going to, you know, play well on this field. Like when we had Eddie And that is the mentality I got from the, you know, guys before me. But I feel it's important to hold the fort down. And I'm, you know, looking forward to seeing you guys go out this weekend because I think you guys did a great job last week.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're talking about, complementary football. You pick up the defense. They pick you up. The special teams makes plays. It all fits together very well. And I think that's one of the things that John Robinson and Mike Mularkey are both most excited about, is they see that part of it coming together.
Yeah, and it's important. I mean, you got to have the right pieces. You got to have it fit certain ways. But if you can pick up the slack for each, you know, phase, whether it's, you know, us for defense or special teams, or whether it's them for the offense, it just makes going out there a whole lot more fun, because you're not pressured to go out there and make a play every single down. You know, you're out there, you're just enjoying the game, you're having fun, and you're going to do your best to execute what's asked of you.
I have a question from Tony on Twitter. He wants to know, what has been your favorite thing about living in Nashville so far?
The people. I mean, it's, you know what?
I've
been very fortunate to live in some pretty cool places. You know, Hawaii is a special place. Eugene, Oregon has been awesome. But you know what? Nashville, the people have been incredible. They've really welcomed my family and I. You know, the support that we receive each and every single day is huge. And, you know, it's, for us, we're very thankful for it.
Colts, Sunday, noon, Nissan Stadium. Big division game, and for the Titans, it's not about the past, is what Coach Mularkey says. It's about winning this game. When a team's beaten you several times in a row, and I know it's not you, but your organization, how do you block that out and make that truly about what Coach Mularkey wants, and that's just this week?
It's easy. It really just comes down to the fact that you want to get better every single day. You want to improve for the guy that's on the left and right of you. And really, when it comes down to it, whatever or whoever we're playing on Sunday, it doesn't matter. As long as we're going out there and executing to the best of our abilities, and we go out there and just play for each other, it's not going to matter.
On Sundays, who's the energy guy? Obviously, you have your own energy. We've established that. You have your own zen. You do your own thing. But who's the guy that will get the guy going? And when things aren't going well, you know, within the locker room, you know, who is the guy that gets everybody's mind off the bad times, and or a couple of guys that keeps things light around the locker room?
You know what? I would definitely Wesley Woodyard. You know, Jarrell Casey's one of those guys as well. Offensively, Harry Douglas, a guy who's been doing it for a long time. Taylor's in that group for sure. Sometimes you got to tell Taylor to kind of quiet down a little bit. No, but again, like I said, those guys up front have done an awesome job. But really, it just comes down to the fact that guys really believe in each other. And there's multiple guys across the locker room that lead in their own ways. And for us, that's all you really can ask for.
Special night tonight for these Titan season ticket members, for Amy, for me, for Keith. Marcus Mariota, thank you so much for being part of Titans tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you guys.
For coming.
Mariota drops, steps up. He can run a long way. 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, end zone. 87 yards.
Welcome back to Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock on Titans Radio. We're glad to have you with us. Reminding you that all season long, get the Titan Up special at PapaJohns.com. Get any two large pizzas with two of your favorite toppings for just $7.50 each. Go to PapaJohns.com and enter promo code Titan Up only at Papa John's. Keith Bullock, Marcus Mariota, no disappointment.
No, none at all. I've only heard great things about him, but then to ask him, you know, the questions that I was able to ask him, and, you know, the main question I really wanted to ask him was the coming from the mainland. I mean, from Hawaii to playing over here, because, like I say, dealing with high school players now, I'm experiencing, you know, the kids coming from Hawaii to come to these Nike camps and just seeing the demeanor of, you know, like Marcus said, the kids from Florida, from Michigan, from Ohio, from Texas, and just seeing how the kids from Hawaii, they compete just as hard and just as well and end up being a lot of the top players at camp. So it's very interesting.
It was great. Amy, I hope you had a good time.
I did. I had a lot of fun.
All right. Do you have more questions via Twitter?
I do have more questions via Twitter. This one, Keith. Bill wants to know, given the Colts' injuries at receiver and tight end, do you think the Titans will change anything that they're doing defensively?
Oh, good question.
I don't know. You know, that's usually something a game plan thing that, you know, the coaches will, after watching the film, kind of come up and see what defenses within their packages will work. You know, Coach LeBeau has a great way of drawing up blitzes to be effective based on, you know, what he sees. And the Titans defense, you know, they're not stoning opposing offenses, but they're stopping them, you know. So, like I said last week, the Titans defense always gives the Titans a chance to win the game. And with the Colts reeling the way that they are, I think if they can bottle up T.Y. Hilton and take care of Frank Gore, they should have their way defensively.
Amy, you had a chance today to visit with Coach LeBeau for the TitansOnline.com feature, Titans in Two. Anything that he give us a little preview if people haven't had a chance to watch it yet?
He talks a lot about the linebackers and the two consecutive six-sack games. That was very interesting. He also talked about the defensive backs and how well that group is playing right now. Once again, I've said this before, I could listen to Dick LeBeau talk about anything for any length of time, but it's always good to get some different insight from him, the things that he's seeing defensively.
Always a good feature, Titans in Two with Amy Wells and a variety of guests throughout the course of the week. And, of course, Jim Wyatt, TitansOnline.com. Great articles always from Jim Wyatt. Check out TitansOnline.com. Few issues around the league. Let's hit them. All right, you have said when you were a younger man, you enjoyed going to Vegas quite a bit. Could you have been a Las Vegas Raider? Could you have handled that? Will it take a special type of player to be a Las Vegas Raider if they get approval to move there and do so in 2019?
I would have been able to handle it because, you know, it doesn't matter where you are. You can have fun wherever you are. Vegas, obviously, is a thought of more of as a playground. But most teams that have their facilities are, unless they're right on the strip,
I don't think that's happening.
You know what I'm saying? So I can't see the team being right on the strip. But, yeah, there definitely are going to be some, you know, guys are going to be tempted to stay out late and do certain things. But I think the true professionals will be the ones that will make it. And, you know, that's why I say I wouldn't have had a problem because I wanted to be the best linebacker in the world. So I wasn't worried about Vegas isn't going nowhere. It's going to be there when the season's over.
But
and it's going to be even better because the pool's open. So,
but you were pretty grown up about all of it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, even at an early age, you could separate.
Yeah, because I had a plan for myself. You know, I had goals. I set goals for myself. So, and we're in Nashville. It's not Nashville in 2016. It's Nashville in 2000. Like 16 years ago. So when it was like three steakhouses and about six really good bars. So, you know, and we went to all six really good bars.
You knew where they were?
Yeah, of course. I still know where they are. We're going to go alumni weekend this weekend. But yeah, I think that whole Vegas situation, I think the hockey team is going there this year,
right.
You know, so they'll get to see how it works out. And look, if the hockey arena is definitely right next to Caesar's Palace, you know, so, you know, I think it's great. It'll work out fine.
All right. Let me ask you about Adam Vinatieri. All right. Thinking about this, number one, the guy's in his 21st year. He'll be 44 on December the 30th. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Absolutely. I say absolutely. Played for the Colts. First, he was with many championships with the New England Patriots.
Absolutely.
And now he's just being as consistent as ever with the Colts. Did he win a championship with the Colts? No, right?
Yes, his first year.
But the Hall is tough on kickers. The Hall is real tough on Kent State. Yeah, they're tough on kickers.
Oh, yeah, they are. All right, so here's a quick question I want to ask Amy this, too. I want both your opinions. Does he go in as a Colt? Or does he go in as a Patriot? Because if you can believe this, he's now played with the Colts longer than he played with the Patriots.
Amy, you can go first.
You go first. Colt or Patriot?
I say Colts, but I'm also a little biased in that when I was with the Colts, I worked with him there, so I can only see him as a Colt.
All right. So she doesn't count.
Well,
because always, you prefaced it.
There was an asterisk to my answer.
See, that's why I said that.
Well, okay. Considering he beat me when he was on the Patriots and the Colts, I think it should be his preference, you know, whatever he chooses, right?
Okay. Here's another one for you, though. Robert Mathis. This guy's coming in here this weekend. He's in his 14th year. And Freeney was the outside linebacker that everybody talked about. But Mathis, 119 career sacks, 50 career forced fumbles. I mean, you're talking about a guy who has some really outstanding numbers. Is he one of the most underrated players of this era?
Yeah, with those numbers, absolutely. Absolutely. But I will go to say he benefited with the double and triple teams. That he had a lot of one-on-ones because...
Well, but he actually played the run, though.
Yeah.
Which Freeney...
Dwight's coming out against the run.
Your old teammate from Syracuse.
Hey, that's my boy. That's my man, 50 grand and all, but... He's coming out against the run.
He's still rushing the passer in Atlanta.
He's still getting sacks. I remember it was 2 years ago. We were just talking about he was retiring. And I was like, yeah, come retire. It's fun. And then he's still out there making money. Good job, Dwight.
How tall is Dwight Freeney for real?
But he's a legit 6'1", six and a half, between 6 feet and 6'1". He's not over 6'1". He's not a short guy. But compared to the offensive
position.
Right, compared to the 6'7" offensive tackles that he's lining up against, he's very short.
All right.
So, but he's very strong.
I have a question from Twitter. This is probably my last one of the day, so I'm going to try and make it good. Do you think this team has something going for it that will allow it to build? Like, how much does momentum actually matter?
It matters a lot. It matters a hell of a lot because you figure they just beat Cleveland at home. Now, if they can even up with the Colts, like if they go beat the Colts to come 3-3, and then they get Jacksonville in here.
4-3.
4-3. Well, that's even better. Then they get Jacksonville in here on Thursday on the short week. That's 3 home wins in a row. So at the end of the day, you want to win all your games at home. That's 8 wins. You know, we're already down 2. So you got to win another 6 at home, and then you pick some off on the road. You know, your record is right there. What you want to do is be in position in December to make a run. And that's when things get fun. I think that's when this team will really understand and see what it's about. As long as they could just stay in the fight. You just want to stay in the fight. And, you know, you never know what happens.
Well, the dream is to play Houston the last game of the year for the division.
Absolutely.
I mean, for where the
will that be here?
Oh yeah. Yes, nice. It is. It would.
That's nice. That's like a playoff game.
Oh yes, that would be really special.
Hey, they might even give them the what is it when they switch it over to like the night game?
That's right. Could be flexed.
The flex game. There you go.
Would be nice to be on Sunday Night Football.
It's been a long time.
You are correct.
Yeah, we might be jumping the gun.
All right, let's back up to next Thursday. And again, mention that next week we're on Wednesday with Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock. Because Thursday, October 27th, Titans take on the Jaguars. Bud Light and the Titans teaming up for a free pregame concert in the Titan Up tailgate party. And that's by gates 8 and 9 outside Nissan Stadium. Opening acts start at 5 with ACM New Vocal Group of the Year, 1,000 Horses, taking the stage at 6:30. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Primetime football is a big deal. You were part of the first primetime game ever in Nashville, Monday Night Football against Jacksonville, and that was an electric evening.
Yeah, I remember that game. It was my rookie year, the first play of the game. Fred Taylor ripped off an 80-yard run. He finished the game with 86 yards, and... Yeah, Titans dominated the Jaguars that night. And I had 3 special team tackles.
You loved playing special teams.
No, I hated it. But we're on TV. That's the only way I was going to get some shine. So there you go.
That's what Jeff Fisher used to say about you. He'd say, Keith Bullock, I think he's going to be special, but he's got to learn to enjoy and embrace special teams. Did you ever embrace it?
Man, I don't know many first-round draft picks that embrace special teams, unless you're the kick returner. Or the punt returner. Or the kicker.
And there aren't a lot of first-round kick returner, punt returner kickers.
Not at all.
Not a whole
Sebastian
lot.
Janikowski.
Sebastian Janikowski. That's exactly.
He's loving his job right now at 39.
That's right. All right, so in the last minute, give me a couple of keys to the Titans winning on Sunday over the Colts.
Well, I think offensively they need to come out and start fast. Last week was the first time that they scored in the first quarter since last September. So I think they need to carry that momentum. Obviously, you know, get DeMarco Murray going early. And I like how they've been getting, you know, Marcus on the perimeter. Defensively, stop Frank Gore, on first and second down. Just like Marcus said, you know, it's easier when it's third and short. So you put the Colts in third and long. That way you can put that pass rush who has 12 sacks in the last two games after Andrew Luck and his porous offensive line.
Good show tonight, Mr. Bullock.
Always with you.
Thank you, season ticket members, for being here tonight. Titans Tonight is produced by Alan Kirby, Titans Radio producer Brad Willis, Traffic Director Kendra Holt, Sales Manager Hunter Rice, Titans Radio Executive Producer Rhett Bryan, Operations Manager Charlie Cook, General Manager Allison Warren. The Titans host the Colts this Sunday. Titans Countdown on the air at 11 a.m. Central, noon Eastern. We hope that you'll join us. For Keith Bullock and Amy Wells, along with Marcus Mariota, Mike Keith says good night, everybody.
Titans Tonight, presented by Pinnacle Financial Partners. Pinnacle is the official bank of your Tennessee Titans. Visit TitansBanking.com to discover Pinnacle's winning plays. Member FDIC. Titans football happens again this weekend. Never miss a single moment. This is Titans Radio.